to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is Thursday, January 28th. Got plenty to get into. Pelicans getting the win. The news out of Houston for all you Saints fans wanting perhaps a new quarterback. We'll get into that here as well. Got a little hoops last night over in Thibodeau. The Colonels picking up yet another win. It's now, what, seven in a row as they defeat McNeese. Congrats to them. We spoke with Jack Benjamin yesterday. The Tulane Green Wave will get to the court again today. Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, will join us here at 1:30. 1:15, Daniel Salerson will join us at 1:05, The Graph. Jordan, I think you kind of know why we will be speaking with The Graph at some point.
No, actually, I don't know why.
Don't know, huh?
Is it because what I just did?
I don't know. I guess we'll just wait. I guess we'll just wait and find out.
Something had to do with some type of cake.
Maybe. We'll figure it out, though. And we'll do that here in a little bit when we continue. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Clint Sterner. He and I do Arkansas Game Day over on CST. They're in the football season. He also hosts a show in Houston. And we'll speak with him, the former Razorback and Cowboy quarterback, over at Sports Radio 610. On the news, obviously, that took place today. And here's what he had to say on Twitter today.
Whew. Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, this is on you too, man. Deshaun Watson is a generational talent that owners are in this league for 30, 40, 50 years and don't get a chance to have a Deshaun Watson on your team. Coaches coach a lifetime, don't get a chance to coach Deshaun Watson. Players, J.J. Watt, have Hall of Fame careers and never get a chance to play with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. Fan bases, I mean, they fan their entire life and never get to root for a guy like Deshaun Watson. And the owner of the Houston Texans and the chaplain of the Houston Texans found a way to ruin that for everybody, for themselves. Deshaun Watson is a guy that covers up for deficiencies. He proved that this year. You got injuries across the board, Deshaun got you. Adverse times in the organization, Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly, Deshaun got you. He's staying loyal. The city, Deshaun got you. And all the while, he just wanted support. He wanted a shift in culture, leadership, discipline, structure. Those are all reasonable things. Those are all things that are necessary to win a championship. Deshaun Watson is a quarterback that's cut from championship cloth. And the Houston Texans are not an organization that are cut from championship cloth. The stars didn't align, and Deshaun wants out. It's a sad day in Houston, and it's a sad day for Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, and it's unfortunate that Nick Caserio and now David Culley are caught up in the middle of it. The dysfunction continues. This organization continues to spin out of control in the wrong direction. And you just hope that this is rock bottom.
So that's Clint. We're going to talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Again, he hosts a four-hour show in the afternoons over in Houston. And there you have it. You heard his take on it because the news today is Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade. Now, Adam Schefter's been on this over for ESPN for a while and has been following how this story has sort of played out. And he's been saying it didn't matter who they hired as a head coach that he wanted out. Schefter cleared it up a little bit this morning.
Deshaun Watson officially has requested a trade from the Houston Texans, Greeny. As it turns out, he did this days ago. So it is official now. Deshaun Watson will want out of Houston. The head coaching hire of David Culley makes no difference. It does not change his feelings one bit. Deshaun Watson has requested a trade from the Houston Texans. This now vaults to the top of the offseason storylines. We will wait to see where Deshaun Watson goes this offseason. But now we see how the Houston Texans handle a situation. Houston, you have a problem. Officially, he has requested the trade.
So there you go. And Stephen A. on First Take, a little bit later after Schefter said that, Deshaun Watson and his people got in touch with him, and they wanted him to put out there that it wasn't Deshaun Watson that leaked out this information. It was the organization that he requested a trade because, as you heard Schefter say, he had already made that weeks ago. So he had kept it in-house. And this came out this morning, and that info apparently was being done by the organization to try to, I guess, get some sort of control over it or not. Now the obvious question, right? Who wants him? Jordan this morning at the gym, everybody has plans, right? Who's getting one? Here's my thing I've always said about it with Deshaun Watson. It's about 20 teams I wouldn't mind giving him a call. So if you're the Texans, you got to assume, you are assuming, that they are going to ask for the moon. Well, here's Schefter.
Sky's the limit, because I think there are 25 teams in the league that would be making an offer on the guy. 25. I think Jacksonville wouldn't. I think Kansas City wouldn't. I think Buffalo wouldn't. I don't think Green Bay would. And short of that, who else wouldn't? Baltimore? That's it. But by the way,
yeah.
I mean, just for fun, if you're Baltimore, why would you guys? Hey, we'll give you Lamar Jackson for Deshaun Watson. David Culley knows Lamar well. That's an example of what we're talking about, right? Lamar Jackson's a former MVP, and I'm not telling you Baltimore's going to, but for a moment, isn't that worth, like, would you do that if you were Baltimore? Like, right?
You imagine that. Again, there's so many different teams that could be going. Schefter talked about one of the teams we touched on. Remember, Nikki Kay, right, that we had on. Jordan, she covers the Rams. She flat out told us the last time we had her on, heading into the Rams-Seahawks game. You remember what she said? Jared Goff's not going to be the quarterback next year. 2 years removed from the NFC Championship game in a Super Bowl. Schefter on the Rams' plans.
Well, there's one of my 18 right there, Jay. There's one of my 18. When you hear the GM talk like that, when you see that they use John Wolford in the playoffs, when Jared Goff was well enough to play, that tells you that they're clearly going to entertain a change. And again, my money would be on the fact that they have a quarterback, a different opening day starter, as part of the 18 teams that I'd be forecasting for opening day. Now, again, the general manager had a chance to squash all of it the other day, and he just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. I mean, if you just listen to what Les Snead said, yes, Jared Goff is the quarterback at this time. What is today? January 27th or 8th or whatever. Well, he's the quarterback today. You didn't hear he's our guy. You didn't hear we're not looking. You didn't hear any of that. You heard complete non-committal. Count them in the 18.
Crazy, right? When you think about it. One more from Adam Schefter. Again, because it's kind of the big news of the day that this quarterback's now made available, but there are a bunch of other quarterbacks as well. What if Aaron Rodgers makes himself available? Jimmy G, what if the 49ers decide to move on? Noodle arm, Matt Ryan, I heard this morning. $40 million is cap hit this year. If you're Atlanta and you're rebuilding with the new coach and new GM, that makes sense if you're going to go that way. So, Schefter, which quarterback he thinks will be moved first of all the big names?
Well, Matthew Stafford, I think, because I think it's out in the open for both sides. The Texans aren't at the point where they want to or are ready to go trade Deshaun Watson. But I think the Detroit Lions clearly are. They've had the conversations with the player. The player's had the conversations with the team. And both sides are ready to move on. So it's easy to do that once that happens. The Texans and Deshaun Watson are not in the same spot. Not sure the Eagles and Carson Wentz are quite in that spot right now. There are a number of free agents out there. But again, I would just say this. If you go and look around the league, and it's a fun little exercise, How many teams could you count today where you absolutely know the locked-in opening day quarterback starter for next season? There are maybe 10. Maybe 10. And then there are another three or four where you say, well, I think Daniel Jones will be the guy in New York, or I think Matt Ryan will be the guy in Atlanta, maybe. But you can find guaranteed questions with half the teams in the league, minimum 16. I'd say maybe 18 or 20.
So there you go, Jordan. Did you notice one quarterback not being mentioned at all, names-wise, that anybody would want? Just wonder if you've been paying attention to any of the Adam Schefters. Huh?
Drew Brees? Is it?
Oh, wow! No! That's not where I'm going.
That's where you're going with
that. No! Oh, Mitch Trubisky! Not a single time have you heard anybody mention Mitch Trubisky, maybe change it. No one wants him. No one. That's terrible. I can't believe you went there.
Sorry, I was cutting some things.
Yeah, bet you were. Unbelievable. Anyway, to the hardware we go.
Zion got himself a breakaway after a tip ball and a steal, and he will throw it down with authority.
With malice and a forethought, rim is bruised.
Still shaking below us. 12-5 New Orleans.
He got in on it later in the quarter.
Steal Lonzo. Flip it up the floor to Jackson Hayes. Tomahawk, baby.
Oh, my goodness. And guess what else happened?
7-5. And Robinson has been starting during the stretch, but coming off the bench tonight. Now Ball up top for three. That's down. Nothing but net.
Oh, Lonzo Ball with a three. You know who else hit a three?
On the arc, Chesed to Reddick. Catch and shoot. Straight away three. It will not go.
Jackson Hayes set as good a screen as he might ever set.
Now Reddick intercepts. Can he take it to Robinson? Instead, he pulls up for three. Right wing. Why take it to the rack?
That's what a shooter's got to do right there.
There you go. And you know who else got a three?
Ingram. Three ball.
There's your answer.
Straight away.
Everybody was scoring. And then, of course, we'll wrap up with this.
Weaving through traffic. Left baseline jumper. Short. Ball on the deck. And Bledsoe has it. Chests it up the floor to Ingram. Two on two.
Oh, yeah.
Alley-oop, Ingram.
Yes, sir.
Zion.
You can see that one coming. You could see that one coming. Zion Williamson ran the right lane hard on the cut. B.I. lays it up where Zion can go get it.
All right, well, there you go. Pelicans getting the win over the Wizards. I hadn't even got to the other big news to Bradley Beal, the player that so many Pels fans would love to have. 47 points. We're going to get into this game a lot more coming up, as we said later on in the show, because it was absolutely insane. I know. Yes, Jordan, that's my new MacBook. I have to take off the sounder because it's the first time I'm using it for the show. Thank you for pointing that out.
I thought it was me.
No, it's not you. I will figure this out during the break. It's crazy. 47 from him, dude. That's the only reason this game was even remotely close. It was like 74 to 40 something for a while. And what was it? 26 point lead or something like that for a while. And then Beal was just unstoppable. So we're going to get into all of that and more. Lonzo Ball did hurt his ankle. This is what Stan Van Gundy had to say on Lonzo and really just overall his game that night.
They're pretty happy with the way he looked after the game, got treatment during the second half and responding pretty well. We obviously don't know the total picture, and they'll look at him again tomorrow, but they were pretty positive about it after the game. It was too bad because he was off to a really good start. I mean, we were plus 23 with him on the court in 15 minutes, and he was doing a good job on Beal, and it allowed us to have multiple guys guard Beal. And then Bled had to play him the whole second half and get through all those screens and the whole thing. So it was difficult when he went out.
Yeah, so look, the discussion was going back and forth right on Twitter. If this is the Lonzo we can have, why are we trading him? Or the other half was like, yes, yes, keep showing up like that so you can trade him. Here's what's interesting. I'll play these two bites, so we'll go to break. Ross Jackson coming up next. He's in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. I got two quick bites. Zion on Lonzo.
It gives us a different look for sure. We're always telling him, just to be himself and, take the shots he's comfortable with. We believe in him to shoot those contested threes, the open threes, just ultimately play his game. And, he played with a lot of confidence before he went out. And, when he comes back, you're going to expect the same thing.
Brandon Ingram on when Lonzo plays like that.
Well, it just looks different.
looks different. He's going up the floor. He has a pace to him, trying to get to the basket, trying to make something happen. He's our best player, our best passer on the basketball floor. So when he gets into the lane, he collapses defense. He knows the right pass to make. So when he's playing like that, he makes our team hold his ball.
So again, there are your two top players who each had 32 points apiece last night. Zion and Brandon Ingram. We'll have much more in this game, as we mentioned, coming up a little bit later. Next hour, we're going to speak with Daniel Salerson. We'll play some more sound from the locker room. But I got to update you guys and get you all some info. What's going on at the Senior Bowl? Mac Jones is looking good. Any receivers? Any defensive players? Ross Jackson, he joins us on Thursdays from Locked On Saints, Canal Street Chronicles. He's over there. We'll go to him next on ESPN New Orleans.
Lady of the Sea General Hospital is continuing to administer COVID-19 vaccines utilizing a drive-through clinic in their parking lot this week. Vaccine administration is by appointment only for adults who meet the criteria for vaccination as determined by the Louisiana Department of Health. If you are age 70 or above and haven't signed up yet to take the vaccine, please call 985-632-6401 to get your name on the list. For those coming in for their appointment for the vaccine, please wear a mask while remaining in their vehicle for the vaccine administration, bring a government-issued photo ID, and wear clothing that will allow access to the upper arm. Once again, the vaccine will be administered by appointment only. If you are age 70 or above and haven't signed up yet to take the vaccine, please call Lady of the Sea General Hospital at 985-632-6401 to get your name on the list.
You're invited to start 2021 right now.
Right now.
On the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengia.
Each and every Thursday during the football season, it's an honor to have Mr. Ross Jackson on. At Ross Jackson, NOLA, Locked On Saints, and editor over at Saints Canal Street Chronicles, among many, many other things as well. It's been in Mobile. Jordan, you can see it's on our television over there. There's live footage of the practice going on. But, Ross, you've been out there. Thank you for fitting in some time. How are you today?
Oh, absolutely, man. Always. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Appreciate you having me on. Things are going well over here. A lot of fun. We're all masked up. We're all safe. And, it's getting a little chilly out here today. So
I was going to say, it looks beautiful out there, though. Bright sunshine. And that's always a good thing as they're throwing some routes over into the end zone. Look, man, let's just get into a lot of the different topics here so I can let you go do what you got to do. First off, let's start with what you heard from Mickey Loomis yesterday over there in Mobile. And essentially, two things stood out to me. A, what we expected, he still envisions this team dealing with the cap, however it is, and still try to be competitive and try for a championship. The other thing that stood out to me was the words, we're waiting on him in reference to Drew Brees, but we have a lot of other plans to make. Those are two things that stood out to me. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely that latter point, the one about the, about waiting for Drew Brees to make his decision. They're basically going about this the same way they went about last year. Although, I kind of don't know what else he's going to say in that moment. You know, you know what I mean? The guy, he's kind of in a tough position there in terms of putting together an answer in terms of, either announcing Drew Brees' retirement or not at that moment. So I thought it was an eloquent way to just let everybody know that, like, things are in process and things are moving. And the other thing that really stood out to me was just the intent that this team does not have, and we kind of observed this when we talked about Sean Payton's presser, there was no sense of, hey, we're rebuilding, we're starting over, we have a lot of things to figure out, we have a lot of things to fix. There's no sense of that. It's a sense of a team that looks to remain competitive next season immediately, as opposed to having to go through any type of a full-on rebuild, regardless of what happens.
Ross, exactly. That's what I thought in listening to Sean Payton and him, and that's what I threw out to callers yesterday. So now you've heard from both top men here in the organization. It absolutely seems like, let's just get back to work and let's get back at it here. Quarterback's such a big thing. Ross, the big news this morning, I'm sure everyone's talking about in Mobile. We open up with a lot of Schefter sound on Deshaun Watson, officially, quote-unquote, requesting that trade. We find out it's been weeks ago, but now the organization's saying, okay, fine. He's requested that. Look, it's been a topic this week. So many teams, the Rams with Goff, Jimmy G in San Francisco, Atlanta, Matt Ryan's a $40 million cap hit if they keep him. All these different teams that actually have quarterbacks, Darnold with the Jets, Tua in Miami. I've never seen anything like this. What do you think happens with all these QBs?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a really, really interesting offseason because there are about 18 different quarterbacks that could potentially change. That could potentially change teams, and at some in some way or another, it could all come down to Deshaun Watson being the first domino. If he goes to Miami, then Miami has to figure out what they're doing with Tua. If Tua's not a part of that trade that sends him there, same thing with the New York Jets and the possibility that they could end up being, if they land him, then they would end up moving Sam Darnold, and then the ripple effect kind of continues from there. And so it's going to be a really interesting offseason to watch. As if Houston hasn't gone through enough with James Harden and everything that's already going on with them over there with the Rockets, now the fans have to endure what's going to be a pretty tricky next couple of months in terms of how all this happens. And, of course, any trade that's made isn't going to be made official until March when the official league year begins.
Mm-hmm. Ross, obviously the offseason is now beginning. All these teams are evaluating these players and such. Not a lot of draft picks. Now, Mickey Loomis did say he does expect to get those, compensation picks for Fontenot. But so you don't have a ton. You can maybe use some players. Let's just start there. Do you think the Saints use current players that maybe have some bigger contracts to kind of two birds one stone sort of scenario? Clear some cap space, maybe get additional draft picks.
Yeah, it's certainly an option. I mean, I tend to be of the school of thought that for the Saints this offseason, nothing's off the table. I mean, they have a lot of opportunities to be able to find different ways to simultaneously shave cap space while also shaving space on the roster, while also increasing any type of trade value. The trades are a way for them to knock down some of that cap number. They have a lot of restructure and extension ways to also knock them down. So there's a lot of different ways that they can go about approaching this offseason, and it just kind of depends. I mean, they have multiple roads to achieve multiple things, and it just kind of depends on which one they feel is most beneficial or, where their hand gets forced in terms of some other league move being made elsewhere that keeps them from making a move that they want to make, things like that. But there's a lot of equations to it and a lot of opportunities for them to be able to be, remain creative around their team roster as they always are in the offseason.
At Ross Jackson, NOLA is the way to follow Ross over online. If you're not, shame on you. If you're not listening to the podcast, really shame on you. The info coming out of this week, man, I've been enjoying following your tweets and stuff. And so this is why I needed to have you on. Let's get to it. You're at the Senior Bowl. You're scouting. You're looking. And I need you to tell me, because offensive line could be an area maybe where not only the Saints go, but obviously it's such a joy to have. Who is a player that is reminding you of a piece of art, a piece of music, and watching him out there on the field like that?
I know this guy's so good out here. He's got me waxing poetic on the podcast, but it's true. North Dakota State University offensive lineman Dylan Radden is something special out here. In fact, the call came through to jump on for the call here, he had just finished up a rep where he absolutely denied yet another big defensive lineman, and they're lining him up both at the left tackle spot, which is where he played at North Dakota State University, and at the left guard spot. And I haven't seen him really lose a rep in either of those spots. So you see some versatility from him. You see him getting a look at the guard position. He's, shorter arms, 33 and a quarter inches, 33 and a half. I'm sorry, 33 and a quarter, 33 and a half, 34 is usually the threshold you're looking for outside guys. But even, with that little bit, he is really good at the position, and he has looked fantastic here so far in Mobile.
I know it's not the norm when you see the Senior Bowl, but it really has helped a lot of guys, big guys. You have two from the national championship team in Devontae Smith and also Mac Jones, Sam Ellinger, quarterbacking right now as we're watching in this practice. How have they've looked? Because receiver and quarterback, you know this already covering the Saints. It's going to be a popular topic for Saints fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Devonta Smith is here. He's not participating in practices, but he's taken advantage of the opportunity to do interviews, meet with teams, and all the other incredible workshops and work that, you know, Jim Nagy and the Senior Bowl do, from financial literacy classes to, you know, recovery and rehab, like really, really good stuff that they do to help these guys transit with their transition into the NFL. But Mac Jones is somebody that's looked better. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the afternoon practice. He'll practice with the American team later on today. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him because he had a bit of an off day the first day, which isn't entirely unsurprising, right? Chemistry things, unfamiliar, and he was a late add, all that. But he looked really much better yesterday. One throw in particular, which is pinpoint accuracy, which, of course, is his calling card as a quarterback. So looking forward to seeing more of him today. You know, you want to look to the other side of the spectrum for quarterback. Sam Ellinger has struggled quite a bit out here. And, you know, some accuracy issues. He almost got picked off twice yesterday. He did get picked off once. He also got picked off the first day of practice. So you're seeing some faults in his game so far. But, again, a lot of this is about seeing traits. You know what I mean? Seeing, like, what are the things that this guy does do well and what kind of a system can he fit in? It's more about the positive that these guys can do. So even though he's struggling, he's still out here and he's still getting a look. And that's a great positive for him. So, you know, you're seeing some of these quarterbacks. But I'll tell you, I'll point out one more quarterback that's performed really well. And he, the first day of Senior Bowl practice, kind of leapt to the front of the conversation in terms of Senior Bowl QB1. And that was Jamie Newman, the quarterback out of Wake Forest, who you know, started the transfer to Georgia and then opted out of the season. His arm talent, undeniably, is some of the best arm talent out here. And in a lot of cases, is the best arm talent. He's been a lot of fun to watch.
Wide receiver Ross, saw Canastri Chronicles put up a little early mock draft, one of you guys on the site. Rondale Moore from Purdue. Are you seeing some receivers? Again, this is just the Senior Bowl, not the entire, you know, lot that you can go out there. But any guys standing out to you?
Yeah, Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida, has been phenomenal. A lot of fun to watch. He's somebody that does a little bit of everything, kind of if you can think of the Curtis Samuel mold out of Carolina, and imagine how much fun a guy like that would be for Sean Payton, right? So he's a really good fit in that type of a system. He wins really, really cleanly, and he plays a really clean game in terms of crispness of his routes, a lot of separation. And there's another guy out of South Dakota State University. This is why I love the Senior Bowl, because you get these small school guys. Cam Thomas, who has been outstanding over here. And, I mean, he has been putting people on skates. He has been breaking ankles. Like, he's been doing everything at the wide receiver position, creating space in between him that a friend of mine referred to as the space between Houston and New Orleans. So you can imagine how much separation he's creating out here on the field.
Wow. I like that. What was that? Cam Thomas, you said?
Yes.
I was just sending an email to Mickey and them. I'm sure they're already seeing that because that's what they do, right? The Saints kind of specialize in kind of below-the-radar sort of players.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a guy that, you know, I mean, before coming here to the Senior Bowl, was probably a priority free agent, undrafted guy, you know, on many, I would say, expert, you know, analyst boards and things like that. You know, we don't know how that coordinates with, how that overlaps with team looks, because they do, you know, they have much larger staffs and they look at things a little bit differently than maybe a general analyst would. But when you look at what this guy has put on tape here, he's somebody that's moving into selection conversation, you know, and he's going to be a lot of fun to watch at that next level.
Ross, I love it, man. Thank you so much for the time. And again, folks, this was just a teaser. You need a follow. You just look at the feed. But more importantly, you need to listen to the podcast. He goes into details on all these different players and stuff. You got info for a couple of days, sir.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know, we need to jump on a podcast ourselves and, like, talk through these guys here in a little bit. We can find a couple of hours.
I'd love to, man. Thank you so much, dude. Go check him out. Ross Jackson, Ross Jackson NOLA, editor of Saints Canal Street Chronicles. Name a pod. He's probably on it. Locked On Saints as well, and knows his stuff. Thank you, Ross, so much, man. Get back to it.
Absolutely, my man. You take care. Y'all stay safe.
For sure. Thank you so much. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and go to Houston to get more reaction. I teased at the beginning of the show, played what Clint posted on Twitter. It's a two-minute video. We've kind of been through this to an extent, right, AD? I mean, we kind of know it from both sides, don't we now? Because on the other side, you would love to have a guy like Deshaun Watson. But somebody's losing him, right? So we'll talk with Clint Sterner next on ESPN New Orleans. The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Sam's new project needs a project manager right away if she's going to manage to hit her deadline.
It took an extra week to get approvals, but they still want the original delivery date. I guess we'll figure something out.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Ross Jackson live from the Senior Bowl taking a look at a couple of quarterbacks there. You know, just as he mentioned, Sam Ellinger had struggled. He underthrew a wide-open Michigan receiver. Again, though, but you want to get out there and kind of show what you can and can't do. Some positives and negatives as well. Somebody that knows about the quarterback position is our next guest, Mr. Clint Sterner. At Clint Sterner is the way to follow over on Twitter. Clint, I am fortunate to spend any amount of time on Arkansas game day on CST with you and now actually on the show. Thank you so much for being generous.
My man, Gus, it's always good to talk to you, man, whether we're on the set of Cox Sports TV or we're doing a little radio, man, in the beautiful city of New Orleans, man. Thanks for having me.
For sure, man. Look, I led off actually playing what you posted on Twitter, a little two-minute sort of, I guess, tease to what your afternoon show is going to be like. Just kind of give us some background here. Take us to this day and this point. What has it been like? You and I talked on Saturdays about what it was like from the fan base there. What are the Texans doing for years? Like, why is Bill O'Brien still the coach? Like, I've talked to you about this. What's the feeling from fans over there? Did they see this coming? Are they upset that they didn't prevent this from coming? How do we get to this point today?
Well, I think the fan base probably sensed it coming. You know, they felt it coming. But in reality, the likelihood of it getting to this point was slim to none just because you've got, you know, I mean, there's a lot of money involved. There's a long-term contract involved. Now the NFL is involved. It's not just the Texans. And obviously, you got a player that is a generational talent. I mean, you got a guy that, if you're the owner, you hope that this guy comes around once in your life as an owner in the NFL. If you're a coach, you hope you get a chance to coach a guy like this, whether it's high school, college, or pro. And if you're a fan, you hope you get a chance to root for a guy like Deshaun Watson and buy his jersey and buy tickets to go watch his games. And so, you know, you finally got that chance. And there has to be some serious stars aligned in a negative manner for them to reach a point where, you know, he hasn't even got to his first year of his big contract yet. And he's following up on his threat to force his way out of Houston. So the fan base is in a bad spot. You know, I think everybody other than the two or three decision makers at the top of the organization right now are in a really bad spot. And there's, you know, this organization continues to spiral in the wrong direction. The dysfunction continues to grow. And I don't know how they're going to overcome this in any you know, period of time to be relevant in the NFL again anytime soon.
Speaking with Clint Sterner, who's a quarterback over with the Cowboys and, of course, the Arkansas Razorbacks, and now over on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Clint, the reason I wanted you on as well is because, look, from the outside looking in, a lot of times you can sort of make, I wouldn't say judgment, but kind of make a case on a player because all we do is read the headlines if we're not in that city. We would be wrong, wouldn't we? I mean, in terms of, if we're from here going, man, do we really want to bring in a guy like that? He's forcing his way out. He's not communicating with the GM. He won't take the phone calls or any exec. I don't think he was ever that quote-unquote malcontent guy that didn't get along in the locker room. It's about me. Explain that, I guess, to our listeners that maybe that's not the guy. Maybe the situation is why he's here.
Well, there's no maybe to it. He's not that guy. I mean, this is a Drew Brees. For your listeners, they know who Drew Brees is. And look, I'll tell you this, Drew Brees is on my Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks all time. Now I'm 43 years old. I'm not 75, so I don't know about the guys that played back when they didn't have face masks, but I've been around the game for 43 years, and Drew Brees is on my Mount Rushmore of all-time great quarterbacks. He's my statistical face on Mount Rushmore, and I think the world of Drew Brees. I know Sean Payton. Hell, I played for Sean Payton in Dallas. I know what they do there in New Orleans. And I have no problem at all, with zero hesitation, to say that Deshaun Watson is a Drew Brees. He's that. Now, obviously, he hadn't won a Super Bowl and hadn't played that and compiled those numbers. But when you talk about the caliber individual that he is, how he approaches the game, the talent level, the chance he gives you to win a lot of football games and win championships year in, year out, he is a Drew Brees type of player. I was talking to my boss before I got here today. I mean, this is not just a good young quarterback. I mean, this is a Troy Aikman. This is the Joe Montana. This is a Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I mean, that's this guy's likely to go down in not because of what I've seen him do on the field. Yeah, he's talented, but the way he approaches the game, he's 100% a team guy. There is no way, shape, or form to spin this thing where Deshaun Watson is a malcontent. There's just no way. This guy he's been a loyal soldier. He has said all the right things, done all the right things, led in an amazing way through some dysfunctional times, through some adverse times. And all he wanted, once the organization decided to go in a different direction at the head coach position, there was an opportunity for change. And all he wanted was discipline, structure, a shift in leadership, a shift in culture. And these are all things that are very reasonable for a quarterback, that the number one priority is to win a championship. They're all very reasonable. What he wanted is exactly what Drew Brees has in Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. It's exactly what every championship quarterback has. It's support. It's reasonable support to allow yourself and your team to win a championship. That's all he ever wanted, and it's unfortunate that the ownership, Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, just they didn't see it that way, and they couldn't provide what he wanted. And you live one NFL life. Most of the times, it's a lot shorter than you think, and sometimes you got to take drastic measures to put yourself in a position to win a championship, because there's no doubt about it. One thing you can take to the bank is Deshaun Watson is driven by one thing: not money. It's not fame. It's not ego. It's not anything pointing inward to him. It's about winning a championship with a group of his fellow with his teammates, and that's Deshaun Watson. So there's no malcontent. There's no smear campaign. There's no all of that crap. If you hear it, it's dead ass wrong.
At Clint Sterner is the way to follow Clint over on Twitter. Look, there's going to be, 18, 20 teams, even teams that have quarterbacks now, Saints obviously being one. Clint, what's the haul for a guy like Deshaun Watson, man? Especially when you have other teams in what will be a bidding war? Or do you think there's not that many teams because of what Houston is going to ask for?
Well, the haul that they're going to be able to demand in return for Deshaun Watson is going to eliminate a good chunk of the NFL. Now you start getting into these three-team trades where, you know, that the Saints could possibly get involved in a three-team trade where they move players and the Texans end up with the draft picks that they want, then that could possibly happen. I don't see where an organization like the Saints that don't have a top five pick are in the conversation alone. They've got to piggyback the Dolphins. They got to piggyback the Jets. They got to somehow get in a game with Atlanta at four. And it's got to be a package that consists of multiple first round picks, multiple second round picks, and probably a young superstar that's on a rookie contract. You know, I look at Miami. I think Miami's probably the best. You know, right now the team in position to give the best package. They can give them the three, and I believe the 18 overall pick and Tua, along with some you know future draft picks. But it's all about Gus. It's all about what how sexy can the package be, and it's got to be headlined by this year's pick, right? The Texans aren't in a position, and they'd be stupid if they went out and they traded for a bunch of future first-round picks with the Jets, and the Jets come out and they end up winning the division next year, going to the playoffs, and your first-round picks are 21 and 23. Right. You know, that can't be the case. Miami Dolphins and New York Jets right now are sitting in a position where they have the draft capital to be a destination for Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun would like to play in either one of them. Both organizations, I think, have head coaches he'd like to play for, the both cities that he would like to grow his brand in. And so I think it starts there, but I would never rule out Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints from somehow getting a deal done to get him. Because, boy, you talk about a fit, and you talk about a guy that if Deshaun Watson has a chance to play for Sean Payton, he's a lucky man, and so is Sean Payton, vice versa.
It's crazy, Clint, watching the Senior Bowl practice on our TV here in studio. Your Razorback QBs taking to the field here and getting some looksies here as well. Quarterback, final question for you in topic. It's going to be such a huge thing this offseason, not just Deshaun. I don't know about what Aaron, but, man, Goff with the Rams, Jimmy G, San Francisco Saints looking for one. Does Pittsburgh go in one? You mentioned Miami. I've never seen an offseason like this where teams, even with quarterbacks that started for them last year, they may want to move on from. Quarterbacks are going to go high in the draft. Can you recall an offseason like this, and what do you sort of predict in terms of the importance of teams that are looking for QBs? What do you think right now wins? Because I looked at Sunday, and the one thing I took away from Sunday in the AFC and NFC championship game is you better have playmaking quarterbacks that can make the throws, extend plays, don't need to be runners, but can throw the football, man, because those four – we're doing it. And over in the AFC, they're not going anywhere, Allen and Mahomes. So that's what stood out to me, and it made me really be like, you better go get a quarterback that can make plays.
Yeah, I think you got to be nervous if you're New Orleans, simply because you got everything in place except for the quarterback, right? I mean, Jameis Winston, I don't think, is the answer. Obviously, Taysom Hill's not the answer. I love Sean Payton to death, but I don't care what he says to the media. Taysom Hill ain't the guy. You're not going into a season with him as your starting quarterback. The good thing is it's good timing, great timing for Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. You're talking about all the movements you just mentioned. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is legit moving. I don't know that Deshaun Watson doesn't dig his heel in, the Texans do the same, and he doesn't end up moving. But the one we know is Matthew Stafford. And I tell you what, I think that's got to be a real sexy choice for New Orleans, man. You pair Matthew Stafford up with Sean Payton and that supporting cast, you got a chance to make a run in the NFC and compete with anybody in the NFL at that point in time. So I think Matthew Stafford's the one guy that whoever lands him has got a legitimate shot, whether it's Indianapolis or it's New Orleans. He's the guy to keep an eye on. He's the guy that moves the needle for fan bases. He's the guy that I think coaches that have every piece in place will really target and go after, because he can win ballgames in this league, and he's hungry to win ballgames in this league. He fits the mold of 2021, right? He's not a dual threat, but he moves well enough to keep plays alive. Mm-hmm. He's got as live of an arm as anybody in the game right now. He can throw off platform. He can throw from all the different arm slots. he's a guy that I think Sean Payton would do big, big things with, and that'd be fun to watch. As an old quarterback, I would love to watch those two work together for sure. I think he's the number one guy. I'm not a Garoppolo guy. Whether he stays in San Francisco or not, he doesn't scare me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some guys on that list that I think, you know, Tua, Sam Darnold, these are all guys that I think we've yet to see the best of, so that would be fun to watch. But Matthew Stafford is where I'm at.
My friend, we always tease you on Saturdays on Arkansas Game Day about how much time you actually have to give your opinions, but these 15 minutes flew by. You always have as much time as you want on my show, my friend.
My man, I appreciate it. Hey, I hope you and the family are well, man, and keep in touch, buddy.
For sure. Thank you so much for your time, Clint. Clint Sterner. Give him a follow over on Twitter at Clint Sterner, former Razorback and Dallas Cowboy quarterback, and host a four-hour show over in Houston in the afternoons, Drive Time at Sports Radio 610. Trying to get his take on that again. We've kind of felt this different sport, right, with AD. You never want to lose that guy. And you heard him say it. That guy can win Super Bowls for you. That guy is a Drew Brees of Tom Brady. AD went to L.A., won a championship. It's interesting to be on both sides, right? Because after you're the Saints, you love Deshaun Watson. But you heard him say there, as we wrap up and go to break, he and a lot of other people feel Matthew Stafford and the Saints would be a match made in heaven. Do the Saints go and do it? We'll take any of your phone calls. Open segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Good afternoon. Would you like to try a free sample of our double fudge brownie?
Oh, sure.
Mmm,
that's very good. I'll just take one more, just to be sure. Yep, still very good.
Some things never change. Like never being able to take just one free sample. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Mmm, is that macadamia nut I taste? Let me take one more.
Sir,
Yeah, I thought so.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Our thanks to Clint Sterner, Ross Jackson. Hopefully give it a little information here in the first 45 minutes of hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, the Graf will lead things off. He has something to say. I don't know what that is. Maybe it could be about the win yesterday. Pelicans getting that win. He was excited, and he should be. Everybody got in on it yesterday.
Down at the ball, back to B.I., who's going to drive all the way in and flush it with two hands.
That's what I'm talking about. The threes aren't going right now. Attack the rim. This is not a shot-blocking lineup that Washington has on the floor.
Okay, I get it. Washington's a three-win team. I saw a lot of people out there going, hey, let's relax. I get so excited about the win. Pels can't even into that game losing 8 of 9, okay? A win's a win. You need to get a win. You need to see some good things happen. They won the first quarter 35-18, the second quarter 29-27. Now in the third, the Wizards won it. Bradley Beal won it. And in the fourth, it was a 30-26 fourth. Bradley Beal was ridiculous. 47 points for Washington. Remember, Russell Westbrook didn't play. Beal was amazing to see what he was able to do. But again, focusing on the Pels, 32-32 from Zion and Brandon Ingram. It was incredible. And I've been saying this for a while. Last year, that was one of the questions, right? We only got to see 19 games. But, you know, can Zion and B.I. work well together? Absolutely. And you saw what happened when you got good point guard play, when Lonzo, before he got injured, in those 16 minutes, played well. 9 points, 16 minutes, but he had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 0 turnovers. Zero. That's the key. And that's why you've heard me harp on it. It's why you've heard everyone else covering the team harp on it. It's not personal. We wish the guy would play like that all the time. It doesn't matter who that is, but if you can get that out of that offense, the way it runs with those two players, again, I'm asking you, you watched it yesterday. Did you feel that what Zion and Brandon Ingram did is out of the ordinary? Williamson, 12 of 16. Ingram, 12 of 19. I mean, it looks like they can do that. Now, Brandon Ingram shot 7 threes, or got 7 threes to go in. And it was a big part of why this offense was going. Here's Stan Van Gundy on Brandon Ingram's game.
Yeah, they decided to go under every pick and roll up top, you know, or most of them. And he took the shots he should take up there. I mean, you know, he's a great shooter. Steven's a great screener. They're going to go under the screen. Why would you do anything else? It was good to see him get him up. And in a lot of ways, you know, that's not as hard on him as having to, you know, attack all the time. And so he got some sort of comfort jumpers there, which was good.
And look, again, Brandon Ingram just had the offense flowing, and he was asked after the game, what allowed that offense to flow?
Every time we came down, it just felt like we were searching for the best shot on the basketball court. Our defense is pretty good today, too. And then defense turned into transition basket. And some good offense. Everybody was in their spots ready to play. I think Lonzo did a really, really good job of initiating our offense today, making sure everybody was organized. And everything he did, he was confident in everything he did today, tripping down to everybody else.
I mentioned Ingram knocked down 7, attempted 12 threes. The team overall, they attempted 43 threes, knocked down 17 of them. Coach Van Gundy on shooting more from distance.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I mean, I thought that, you know, Brandon and Zion created a good number of those. I'll have to go back through the film and see how many, but a good number of them were created by those two guys. Plus, Brandon got 12 that they decided to go under pick and roll. So part of it was taking what they gave us. And part of it was, you know, our two best players drawing attention and being willing to make the pass. So I was glad to see guys taking it.
One of the things that also stood out in that game, and again, it's why I've been so frustrated and a lot of people have, even though it's early, but the frustration comes from this. Your front court's special. They're special. Zion's, is it just me, or is he looking quicker and quicker by the game? Is he looking better and better by the game? No decision making is going on, right? Gets the ball, just he's attacking. He's starting to look more and more like Duke Zion. And I think that's going to happen the better in shape he gets. I still think you're going to see him drop weight. Still think you're going to see that stamina get better. Again, didn't really play a full season. He hadn't really had a full season yet. And we haven't been really normal when you look at it from that perspective. Wait till they can quote unquote start going to the lab and playing with players and, you know, getting tidbits, and he's going to be on, you know, Olympic teams or whatever type teams and getting info from other players and stuff like that. That, I mean, we saw the development from Anthony Davis. But I was talking about that with somebody when you look at the first year to second year from AD to 19 games to not even full 19 yet. That was game 16. So it's weird because I'm going to talk about this next week after he plays 19 games this year. Compare and contrast the 19 last year to the 19 this year. We can talk about that next week when we get there. So a little homework going in there. But those two guys, Ingram and Zion Williamson, have been special. They've been playing really well this year. And you know how I felt. You could almost make the case an argument Steven Adams is an MVP because when he goes away, when Jackson Hayes struggled early, it was a big loss. Now Hayes has played better as of late. But Steven Adams yesterday, don't look at his points. He only had 6 out of 33 minutes. Gus, what are you talking about? What do you mean he was good? Well, he had a block. He had 3 assists. He had 18 rebounds. JD in the graph, I was listening to you guys, leaving my Tulane game, and you guys were double-checking what he had, 8, 9 rebounds in that first quarter. Y'all were double-checking to make sure that was right. He had 18 rebounds in the game. Zion afterwards.
I mean, it's incredible. I think in the first quarter, there was a point when in my head I was thinking, man, I think Steven has grabbed, like, every rebound. Like, it just felt like that. But like I said earlier in the year, Steven has a high IQ for the game. He knows how to position himself very well. He has a lot of great techniques when it comes to boxing out and positioning himself for the rebound. So, you know, when he does stuff like that, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, I see him put in the work.
Brian Bieniemy, why am I always giving people homework? I don't know. I think I really took to heart, Brian, this whole instructor thing, you know, for Jordan's class here. I'm supposed to grade him every Friday. I'm giving everybody homework so we can get into it. But again, both guys, 32 points apiece. Zion, what it's like for him and B.I. for the first time to put 30 in the same game.
Yeah, you know, it's something we talked about. We both know we're great players, but you know, if we want to take it to the next level, you know, we got to start running off some wins. And, you know, you leave B.I. open like that, you know, B.I. is a knockdown shooter, three-pointer or mid-range. So, you know, they kind of gave him more space than usual, and he hit him. And, you know, with my teammates taking all those threes, it really opened up the game for me. And, you know, it just really worked out for us.
Brandon Ingram on he and Zion playing well together.
Well, tonight I think we try to make a conscious effort of getting everybody involved, making sure that everybody is being played honest. And everybody stepped in the shot really confident, knocking down. Even on misses, they were ready to come back and knock the next shot down. We need everybody. We need everybody to be ready on the offense and defense and make our team really, really.
You know, it's incredible to me, another stat. I'll ask the graph about this tomorrow, or next segment, obviously next hour. Zion was 8 of 11 from the free throw line. The next highest player that went to the line, Josh Hart 4 times, Bledsoe 4. There were 3 of 4 apiece. Brandon Ingram went to the line once. Once. He had 32 points, went to the line once. 1 for 1. No, nobody hit his arm, nobody hit his elbow. He went to the line once. Adams was 0 for 2. Lonzo didn't get there. It's just crazy to what you think about it. Hayes was 0 for 2, but that's it. It's just not, like the disparity, right, in trips to the free throw line. It's pretty crazy when you think about it from that perspective. If the Pels get the win, we'll ask the Graf a little bit about that here when he wants to chime in. Then we'll talk to Daniel about the upcoming game tomorrow against Milwaukee and also some of the other tidbits in and around the league. The Sixers beat the Lakers on a game-winning shot yesterday. Does that mean anything? What else around the league? The Suns are struggling. Remember the Suns a couple of weeks back? They're struggling. We'll talk a little bit about that more. Plus, Jordan Kleber will make his return to the North Shore following the show in triumphant fashion. Why? I'll explain that next on ESPN New Orleans. Never met a girl could make me feel the way that
you do. You're all right. Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.